The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Fandom Files. We're a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really love stuff. I'm Jordan Zacharin, the features editor here at Sci-Fi, and I'm joined by my good pal and co-host, Emily Gaudette, who is an editor at Contently. Yes, I did it. Yeah, I got the intro right. All right, we're flying now.
I was holding in a sneeze, too.
I thought
he's rolling with it.
I wasn't sure if you were trying to, like, psych me out. Mm-mm. You were, like, holding your breath.
Why would I do that? That keeps me here longer.
Well, I mean, we have all night. What's up?
Oh, I don't know, man. Bad week, right?
Like, I mean, in America?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. We're watching this stuff about, what is it, Brett Kavanaugh? Just not liking questions about his sexual history, even though he was asking Bill Clinton about, like, giving the cigar to Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Yeah, America's really bad, but, which I think... You know, we'll jump ahead for a second, which is why I think this episode is interesting. Mm. Because this episode is about something that could not be further from the modern day politics.
Yeah.
It feels like an absolute escape.
Yes.
So that's, compared to especially our last episode, which was all about politics.
Yeah.
So very different. So that is a slight teaser, although you know what this episode is about because it's in the label on the, I'm like, can't spoil the episode that you already clicked on with the idea in the, with the subject in the title. All right, play along. Emily, what is the geekiest thing you did this week?
So the geekiest thing I did this week is this past weekend I went to a lake house with a bunch of people I didn't know.
Oh, where? Why?
The Poconos. It was like a couples trip, which sounds like it was like swingers, but it wasn't. It was like my boyfriend's best friend and then a bunch of people that they knew. So
like
there were
like... boyfriend knew them?
There were at least... No. There were at least 2 degrees of separation from, like, me and my boyfriend, Cam, and the rest of the people in this cabin. And on the way up, I was, like, freaking out. Almost like, this is exactly my nightmare. Like, I'm stuck for 2 days with people I've never met.
Right.
Anyway, fast forward, the geeky thing is, I don't remember who brought it up, but found out that, like, half the group there were weebs. And that was good.
What did you watch? Did you watch any anime?
No, we didn't watch anything. We just... got inebriated in different ways and yelled about anime until like 2 a.m.
Literally yelled?
Yeah, I think at the end of the night I was like yelling.
How did that come up? Like, whose weeb secret came out first?
I think someone, I don't remember. Honestly, you know, there were substances involved, like I said. So I remember feeling awkward and strange. And then at like the next moment, we're talking about whether or not like Miyazaki is an example of anime or if it's like something else he's doing.
You know, what's interesting about being like a weeb is that for some reason, like nerdiness is now cool, so to speak. I mean, I don't know, but it's supposed to be cool now. But people still kind of keep their anime love secret. Not everyone. Some people wear it on their sleeves. But a lot of people still kind of like brush or, you know, sweep that under the rug a little bit.
Yeah, it creates this like magic back and forth when you're getting to know someone like a bunch of strangers and you're kind of like one-upping each other. Like, have you seen this? Oh, you've seen, oh, okay. Oh. You know, like, what, are you just like a quote-unquote weeb, but you've like seen Spirited Away? Like, is that,
right.
You know?
Faux weeb.
And there were definitely some people there. The funniest thing I thought was this one guy and I were talking about Cowboy Bebop, and he was like, yeah, she doesn't like it, to his girlfriend. She was like, he's not very good at his job. I mean, wait a minute, you don't watch the show. Because Spike is a bad bounty hunter, she was like, all he does is kick.
he's not bad at it, though. He just goes unconventional methods.
I feel like the first few episodes, he's like, whoops, got away.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
But I thought that was a really funny reason to not want to watch the show.
I have this weird thing where when I watch TV, no matter if it's a dumb cartoon or a serious movie, I'm very concerned about a character's finances. So it'll be like... trying to think, like Scrooge McDuck. I'm like, how does he know how much money he has? or if somebody like loses a big bet and then like goes on an adventure because of losing that big bet, I'm like, but what about their bank account?
What plot is that?
I don't know. But I'm saying like, if someone gets ripped off in the middle of a movie, I'm like worried about them. I'm worried about them financially.
You're an adult.
Like Ocean's 11 to me. No, I was like this as a kid though too. I guess I was always
conscious.
Like I was always like, man, I'm like one step away from not having money.
You know? You know how they say that like everybody's a puzzle and like there are corner pieces? That's a Jordan corner piece.
That's why I work so much.
A child that was like, but what about his finances?
Well, I mean, I wasn't interested in like personal finance. It was more like, God, he could be screwed. Like, I know what that's like. You know? So, like if Ocean's 11, I'm thinking about like, what is each of their cut going to be? Like, is it worth all the trouble they're going through? And then, like, when they lose it all in Ocean's 12, I'm like, oh, my God.
And what are they living off of when they're, like,
heisting? I mean, I love old film noir movies.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm like, how do they make a stable living doing that, being a detective, private eye? And, like, their fee is so low.
Well, that's like, a big question in TV now because people are, well, I don't know if it's people or if it's networks calling for, quote, economic diversity in sitcoms. Like, to some degree, I do appreciate when a sitcom family's like talking about their expenses, but then sometimes you just want to be transported.
You know, I was watching, so here's a good example. I was watching this movie this past weekend, The Sisters Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. With John C. Reilly and Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Way to go.
Great job. And so it's great. And they're these, as you know, they are like bounty hunter cowboys. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to capture various people. And they're talking about, they allude to some debt they were in. And that's why they were working for this guy, the Commodore. And they're like, if we just take this gold, like from the gold rush, they were going after this gold, then we could just not work for the Commodore anymore and like open a store. And then I started thinking about like, how much gold do they need? And then, no spoilers, but they're like panning for gold in the river. And I was like, how much should they take? Is like Joaquin Phoenix getting a little too greedy for it? Like I was thinking about these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the entire time because I love the movie, but I don't know why I care. If I was writing a story, I would make it clear that like money's not the point, right? Like I understand that from the mechanics of a story, but I don't know why I get so freaking worked up about it.
Okay, here's my thing. I can't watch a scene with someone going underwater without trying to hold my breath.
Interesting.
Yeah, that I think the same thing. I'm like, I don't know, would I make it?
Like in Jurassic World 2 where they're like in the car.
Well, yeah, I actually did when there's always a moment in the movie where they're like, take a breath, and I do it with them.
Like subconsciously?
Yeah. That'd be fun. I wish that I could say that I had like passed out in the movies.
I have fallen asleep and I've just choked myself in so many films.
But I'll like run out of air and I'll take a breath and then I'll settle down in my chair like, huh, well, they wouldn't have made it.
You can push yourself to the edge of to asphyxiation.
Yeah.
So that you could prove a point.
Realism took a shot in that moment. But yeah, that's my obsession.
Interesting. Yeah, it's funny like the little things we worry about when watching movies. Like characters who will like give it all away so they can live a free life. I'm like, all right, yeah, but what are they gonna do for a living?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just a part of like living in Manhattan and being part of a generation that just is a sunk in debt.
Almost drowning.
Yeah. metaphor.
What'd you do, Geeky, this week?
You know, I think I've said this before, but I've been doing a lot of Comic-Con prep because we've got that coming up, New York Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of watching different things to prep myself. So I can't say I've been doing a ton of one geeky thing, kind of like a potpourri, a poo-poo platter of geekiness. But one thing I've been doing, I spent 5 hours last night and a few more this morning and some this weekend working on this gosh darn oral history of the Disney afternoon. And I think I've mentioned this before. It is taking over my life. Because this is like a 17-year period in history.
Right.
So this is a lot of time, and a lot of people worked on these shows. And also their memories are kind of fuzzy. You know, like I interviewed one guy, and he was very nice, but he's like, you know, I was asking about DuckTales, and he's like, you know what? That was 30 years ago.
Like, you agreed to the interview, man.
Yeah. I mean, he was nice about it, but he was just like, you know, I don't remember a lot of details. I just remember working nonstop for like 3 years.
Hmm.
And I was like, come on. Although I will say I'm confused when people do remember really specific details in like interviews.
Right.
Like you're making that up.
Yeah.
Like if you were to ask me the conversation I had with someone like 2 weeks ago, I don't know.
Unless it's podcast stuff because we keep meticulous notes.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I listen to every raw audio file like five times.
In the bath.
Listen to them. And then I sent them to our editor, Paul, and I'm like, yeah, don't make any changes. But just make sure there's no changes needed.
Because I'll notice.
I memorize it, actually.
I have puppets of us, hand puppets at
home. Oh, my God. That's how much I love the Fantophiles. Give us 5 stars. Someone gave us 3 stars recently.
I know.
Which I thought was so funny.
I think I woke up to your text like, 3 stars!
Well, to me, it's like, I understand 5 because we're great. And mm-hmm. we beg, like, shamelessly.
Yeah.
1 star, okay, you hate us.
There are things you might hate, sure. Yeah.
But three?
Three? Yeah, because 3 to me says, meh. And like, I don't habitually leave reviews for things that I feel meh about.
Right. It's either I love this or I hate this.
Yeah.
And also, do you think it was after one episode? Like, what was the length it took for them to decide on 3 stars?
I don't know.
Because you've got to listen long enough to know that you think it's only just okay.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you listen long enough? Were your hands numb and you couldn't use a computer? Or were you trapped in a room? Or
maybe they were trying to leave 5 stars and something, you know, got in their way and they're like, oh, damn.
And you can't leave more than one review.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think. Someone meant to give us 5 stars. And what happened was they were crying.
Their hand slipped.
They were crying because it was such a powerful episode.
Yeah.
And their finger slipped when they were using their trackpad.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
So, Apple, listen, I'm not telling you how to run your business, but I will say, change that 3-star review to a 5-star review. Also, please make my computer faster, because after 2 years, guess what?
It's time.
Yeah, it's time. Anyways.
Yeah, speaking of the podcast, what's our theme for today?
Our theme today is a place where a kid can be a kid.
Toys R Us.
Is that what that was?
No.
Oh, okay. I think that was Toys R Us, a place a kid can be a kid?
No, it was Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, cool. All right, well then, spoiler alert. So joining us on the show today is Matt Rivera, who is, by my estimate, my long Google search, the biggest Chuck E. Cheese fan and expert on the internet, at least that I can find. Matt is the founder of Chuck E. Con, which is the new Chuck E. Cheese convention for fans and super fans. And he has a very big YouTube presence and a Facebook page for his videos and Chuck E. fan stuff. So, Matt, thanks for taking the time to talk.
Oh, man, thank you for having me on the show, man. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, of course. So, I mean, look, we got a million questions for you.
Yeah.
as, you know, a fan, I was a fan myself, and Emily also was a big Chuck E. head.
Big time.
Yeah, that's what they called them. So we're curious how you got into Charles Entertainment Cheese in the first place.
I'm originally from Corpus Christi, Texas, where I'm born and raised from, and I used to go all the time as a kid. And so it was just a very important part of my life, you know, just that we'd go all the time. And I just really loved the animatronic characters on stage and they would perform and stuff. And then the Chuck E. Cheese I used to go to specifically used to have flags that waved on the walls. And those were like, to me, that was like the coolest thing of the restaurant, was like seeing these just this array of flags just waving on the walls. And stuff. And then they had a character that was modeled like Elvis, too. That was like a really big thing for me when I was a kid. And I loved, you know, Elvis. So they had a character there named the King, and that was one of my favorites.
Do you remember your first time there?
I do not, but I do have pictures of me going from the age of 2.
Wow.
So that's the earliest memory. The earliest memory I can still remember is my 4th birthday there.
Aww.
Was your family really into it?
I wouldn't say they were as into it as I was, but you know, they tolerated it for me. You know, they were willing to, you know, let me go whenever we could actually go and stuff if I behaved, or, you know, it was kind of like a reward, you know, for behaving and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when did you decide that this was going to be like a big part of your life beyond just being a fan of it?
Honestly, when I was about 8 years old, I pretty much had made the choice that I wanted to work there.
Wow.
I wanted to be a party host, like one of the party hosts that hosts the parties and stuff. Because you got to understand something. At that age, I thought Chuck E. was real, so I never thought I would actually be the assistant to the character, is the term I like to use. And next thing I know, you know, I'm like, when I got older, you know, I was like, you know what, I think I'd rather be the performer also. And so that's when I made the choice that was my first step towards what I wanted to do with Chuck E. Cheese at the time. the goal was pretty much at that point was just to get hired first. Mm-hmm. It may surprise a lot of people, but it took me about 3 tries to actually get hired at the Chuck E. Cheese I went to.
What did you interview for? Which jobs?
It was for both. It was actually for the party host thing at the time. But the general manager saw me goofing around because this is one of the stores that had like a blue screen. Mm. At one point, so they changed it to a stage with a blue screen. They saw me goofing around. And they thought maybe there might actually be potential in this guy. So I went and reapplied in January of 2004. And the next thing I know, I'm employed.
So the job was to be a party host?
No, actually, he ended up actually getting me set up to be the character assistant.
So what does that mean?
Character assistant is pretty much the person who performs as Chucky.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, yeah, they do that at Disney, too. You're a friend of the character.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, and that's a terminology we like to use as well. So whenever I say character assistant or friends with Chucky, that's what I mean. That's what I'm referring to.
Who was in the Chucky costume?
What's that?
Who was in the Chucky costume?
He was.
Yeah.
Oh, you were in it?
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say I'm friends with the character.
Right.
You were in the suit.
Disney actors do. Right. They say the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, got it. I thought you were like his pal.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, we are friends and stuff, but, you know, it's a little bit different now.
So what was it like learning to interact with kids as Chucky?
It was definitely, it seemed second nature to me, even though it was my first time doing it. I was not, you know, I was a little bit nervous, you know, first time, you know, I had to, you know, put the clothes on. It was kind of like, whoa, this is actually, you know, happening. It's like, it was a really neat little experience, you know, getting to do that first live show. When I thought, you know, I was like, oh, I've got this down. I've watched my old videos and stuff. I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you actually get into it, it's a different thing.
Which costume was it at the time?
It was Chucky. It was the late 2004 version of Chucky, which it had like a maroon shirt with blue jeans and a blue hat and dark colored tennis shoes.
When did they get rid of the suit and tails?
Well, the thing is, with most stores, they usually if an outfit is not looking its best, if it's starting to look like beat up and stuff or just wear and tear, they'll eventually buy a new one.
Okay.
It just depends on how bad it wears out. But of course, all stores, when they switch to when they turn Chucky into the Rockstar Chucky, which is the one that's currently in stores now, they all the stores had to obviously get rid of their older versions of Chuck.
How did you feel about, because remember when he wore like the tuxedo and the tails? When did that change and how did you feel about it?
That was something that didn't happen as remotely as the current, when they did the big changeover with Chucky right now, where he turned into the Rockstar, that one was a lot more elaborate and different. This one, they kind of switched it out around like maybe 2002 or 3-ish.
Oh.
Yeah, that's when they started to kind of transition out of the tuxedo outfit and started making it more like, more approachable for like younger kids and stuff. So they were trying to make him a little more appeasable for younger kids and stuff. And then they eventually switched over to what's known as the Avenger outfit, which is purple shirt and the green shorts. You know, that was what they call that outfit, the Avenger outfit.
Like Avengers, Marvel Avengers?
Yeah, that's just the name of the outfit. I don't know why they called it the Avenger, but that's the terminology we use for that specific version of Chucky, is what we call him, the Avenger Chucky.
Huh.
So what's your favorite outfit?
So when anybody ever references that, that's what we mean. That's our terminology for it, or the Chucky fan.
Oh.
What is your favorite outfit?
Honestly, the one that I first wore as Chucky, the first one I ever wore as Chucky was the one with the maroon and the blue jeans.
Right.
That is my personal favorite outfit, and the fans have actually dubbed it as the Matt the Franchise standard outfit.
Aww.
I want to ask you about the fans. How do you get to know other Chuck E. Cheese fans? What is this community like?
Yeah.
It was a very unique experience for me because I discovered the fan community in about maybe 2003, but I didn't become active in the community till about 2005.
Okay.
I discovered a website called showbizpizza.com, which is where you can find a lot of like the history of a lot of stuff on Chuck E. Cheese and stuff. There's a guy named Travis that runs that website. He's a really awesome guy. And I kind of, you know, when I finally became a part of the community, I was a nobody at the time. And I started to just kind of slowly interact with people. I introduced myself, and, you know, I had to say, you know, hi, I'm Matt the Franchise, even though nobody knew where the name came from. Everybody, you know, was like, who's this guy, you know? but eventually, you know, people came to, you know me as, you know, as that really energetic Chucky assistant.
Where did the name come from?
Yes. The name at the franchise actually came from some guys that worked at the Chuck E. Cheese I worked at. In the back, in the kitchen area, they had nicknames for everybody in the store. And because I didn't really know a lot of the people that worked there, they kind of knew that I liked Chuck E. Cheese, but they didn't know like I was really into it as I was. So they were trying to come up with a nickname for me. So then one of the guys said, he was like, I'll bet this kid's going to own a Chuck E. Cheese franchise one day. So we're going to start calling him Franchise. And so initially it was spelled FR, you know, like the way franchise is spelled with an F. And then eventually, at one point I used to be also a mobile DJ. And so when I was coming up with a name for my business, I was going to call it Franchise Entertainment with an S. But then a guy I worked with was like, why don't you call it, you know, Franchise with a Z? And then that's where the name went from being just, you know, just Franchise to Matt the Franchise.
And so I'm curious though, like, you found this fan community in 2003. I don't know how old you were, but like, what is it that stayed with you? You know, people love things as kids. They grow out of it. Some people, I mean, we're around a lot of people who stay obsessed with the things they love as little kids, so it's no surprise to us. But what is it about Chucky in particular that you didn't just love it as a kid, you love it now as an adult still?
Well, I think what it is that, you know, I really, like a lot of fans, you'll come to learn like one of two things. Mostly it's the animatronics that are on stage performing. A lot of fans, that's the point of difference that made Chuck E. Cheese different from everywhere else is the show. The animatronic show is what made Chuck E. Cheese different back in the day. And every store has a very, like some stores have very different variations of specific stages. And so that's where the idea of those stages came from. And so, and then another thing is people also love the walk arounds or the characters, the costume versions of the characters too.
Right,
and so that's what really sticks with people. It's not just the animatronics themselves, it's also the shows that play, like skits that the characters perform as well, like that program, the lights and the actual characters too. Those are what people really enjoy as well.
And it stuck with you too, right? You know, like so.
And because my big thing was I had tapes. Like my mom, when we would go to Chuck E. Cheese, she would film, you know, my visits and stuff. She filmed a lot of my visits and when I was a kid, and I always would rewatch those tapes. And I would, you know, sometimes I'd be at home, I would recreate Chuck E. Cheese in my house, you know, I'd put the little flags in the couch and pretend like, you know, like that was the Chuck E. Cheese. And I'd pretend to, oh my goodness, I'd pretend to be like the animatronic sometimes and just, you know, play like what was playing on my tapes and stuff because I didn't have, you know, the actual shows at the time.
So now this community, like, what are the people like? Are they all throughout the country? How do you guys get to know each other? Is it just through the internet, social media?
Well, I mean, that's the main thing is if social media didn't exist, a lot of us wouldn't be friends. We all have, you know, our own unique, have our own unique little traits. You know, some people, like I said, like the animatronics specifically, some like the walk around, some like both. I just happen to be one of the ones that likes both. And I just really have, you know, I guess for me, it's like I always try to, you know, kind of keep, you know, everybody together, you know, try to, you know, make it fun for everyone.
Yeah, we were watching performances from ChuckyCon, and we were wondering, like, what's the schedule of ChuckyCon? Like, how do you make sure that everybody is engaged?
Yeah, and how did it start?
Yeah.
Okay, so originally for Chuck, the way that ChuckyCon kind of came together was that originally there was another event created by another group of fans named Jen and Jay who created an event called Cheesevention. Our event is inspired by what they did, which they did the same thing. They rented a hall. They would put, you know, Chuck E. Cheese parts on, like, stuff on display. They would put stuff on the, you know, they would put stuff, and then we'd also have character performances. It was the main focal point. These outfits come from people's personal and private collections and stuff. Most of what we had at ChuckyCon was actually from my personal collection.
Wow.
And so a lot of what you saw, like especially the lights, like my big thing with Chuck E. Cheese, I love the lights. So that whole light setup is all those lights. The majority of those lights came from Chuck E. Cheese that either closed, relocated, or even remodeled.
Whoa.
And so how many people were at this convention?
We had 80 people register for the event. I would say about maybe 65 probably showed up.
That's pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
And from all over the country?
Yeah, from all over the country, from California to Texas, from, you know, South Texas to New York, from Georgia. You know, some, a lot of our staff came from, some of our staff came from Massachusetts.
Wow.
They came from Georgia, you know, and some came from Illinois. And, you know, we're hoping that next year, we're really hoping to have a bigger turnout. But the thing is, with this year's event, we actually broke all the Cheesevention records that they had, because Cheesevention went on for 10 years in a row. So they went from 2004 to 2013 was the last year they did one.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that, in that, in between that gap, you know, nobody had done like a convention or meetup. And so we decided to that, you know, I felt like it was time to maybe do a new one. And I kind of started pitching it to my co-hosts, Jacob and Emily. And we both started figuring stuff out, and, you know, we started putting it together. Next thing I know, we're getting character assignments put together. We're programming the lights, because all the lights and stuff, those are all programmed. I actually have to personally program those myself.
Wow.
In order to get that going. So those are not pre-made like light patterns. Those are all programmed by me.
So this shows that you guys did. Well, I guess the first question is, you mentioned a personal collection.
Yeah.
Where does one acquire Chucky and Friend outfits?
Honestly, it's mainly from eBay, usually. Hmm. That's where a lot of people really kind of, you know, we kind of just keep an eye on stuff, and we decide, you know, we just see what's worth keeping for us, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's the main one.
Who sells them?
Just people who either work there, or, you know, people who acquired them from other places.
Is there like a, what is the price range on one of those bad boys?
It varies. It really does. It depends on the condition. It can then, you know, it depends on, you know, where, you know, how much, you know, what is it really worth to people, you know, that's what it really comes down to.
What is the most you've paid for one?
Oh, that's man, that's something I don't even know, honestly. it's been a hot minute since I've had to actually acquire anything like that.
Do you have a full costume of the five band members?
Just about. Wow. I'm missing some parts for some of them. But for a majority of the outfits and wardrobe that you saw in the ChuckyCon videos, that's all from my personal collection, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Where do you keep them?
They're all in the closet.
You just toss them all in?
So where did you hold the event? Like at a hall? Like, what was it?
Yeah, it was at an American Legion Hall here in Dallas.
Huh.
And we had the place set up, and we had this real, like I said, we set up the lights like that. Those lights are actually a display piece in my second bedroom at my house. Those are, like, when those are not being used for the convention, they're actually in my house.
Oh, wow.
In my office. I call it the studio.
That's cool.
And then there was also, we even had animatronics on display this year, too. We had a Chucky and a Jasper on display, which the Jasper was actually my personal Jasper from my collection as well. The Chucky was actually acquired from a friend of mine's family who, unfortunately, a friend of ours who was in our fan community passed away last year bone cancer. His name was Jaden. And he was a really good friend of mine. And, you know, we were really close. And I was actually one of the, you know, I was respectfully one of the ball bearers for his funeral and stuff. And we actually, I'm still very close with his family. So they were nice enough to allow us to use his, we put his Chucky animatronic on display. And we used a couple of stuff from his personal collection in the display as well, too, which was very meaningful to me because it was my way of feeling that he was actually there with me.
Wow. Did you meet him through the fan community?
I did, actually. As a matter of fact, I did. You know, he came to actually Cheesevention 8, which was the first one when I was living up here in Dallas. When I moved to Dallas, it was the first one I was hosted here in Dallas. I was one of, he actually was really young. He was like 13 when I first met him. He was like 13, and unfortunately, he passed away at about 18 years old.
Oh my gosh,
that's terrible.
Yeah,
well, it's nice to be able to honor him.
Yeah, we did. We actually honored him at the event. There was a live show that was specifically dedicated to him that was performed by a close friend of his.
Oh.
And she, you know, she performed that live show in honor of him, and we're eventually going to upload that to YouTube. It's just that we're slowly getting everything, rolling everything out.
Sure.
You know, I'm curious, you know, you talk about different shows. Do you have favorite music and dances? Like, how does that work?
Honestly, it like, for me, it varies by genre, honestly. Like, we did like, in the early 90s, they did Moni Moni by, you know, Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the one who originally did the song, right?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because the only version I knew was the Chuck version until I heard the Billy Joel version later. So So they did it as a, we did that as a live show because that was originally done as a live show back in the early 90s.
Got it.
And then probably from the next era, my next favorite would probably be the one that's called Chucky Says. And that one's actually, that applies to all genres of Chucky from that point because there's three different versions of that live show.
Mm.
How often are you at a Chuck E. Cheese franchise now? Like regularly?
Well, the thing is that like Chuck E. Cheese, like the ones out, you know, most locations are actually corporate owned stores. Okay. So a lot of them are really, you know, I go visit them at least maybe two or three times a week still.
Hmm.
Just to go watch the show or to kind of see, because I also assist with the videos that play in the restaurant.
Cool.
I'm one of the people who works on those shoots. As a matter of fact, that's the shoot I'm at right now, video shoot I'm at right now.
It's
a video shoot for Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh my God, I didn't realize we're interrupting official Chuck E. business.
Oh my God. Look,
oh no, you're good. You're good,
like
guys.
The music videos that
yeah,
you guys
are shooting right now.
I remember those, yeah.
We are actually currently filming stuff for the holiday show that's going to be playing this playing at the end of this year.
Whoa!
What's it like to be part like that? I mean, like this is like the corporate office. So, what's it like to be in the part of that?
It's a dream come true, and I'm not exaggerating that at all because that is the whole reason I moved up here to Dallas was to try to make this happen, or make this a reality for myself. This has been the journey of 15 years of working at Chuck E. Cheese and making it to this point.
How old were you when you got your first job at Chuck E. Cheese?
I was 16. I started right off the bat, and I worked there for 14 years up until April. I worked with the company. I worked in the restaurant.
Okay.
And then in April, I actually was in February 2011. I moved over to the the truck passing by. In February 2011, I moved to the corporate office and worked in their call center, and I worked there for 7 years up until April of this year.
And
then I left, and now I'm a freelance contractor for them, so they hire me whenever they need me for video shoots and stuff, so that's what I'm doing.
Huh.
Is the video stuff what you really love doing?
Yes, and that's why I create my own content, and that's why I do all the YouTube stuff, too.
Right.
That's my passion. It's been my passion for years.
How come you left the call center?
I was, truthfully, I was burned out and I was not very happy anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I just decided to respect. I left on good terms. So obviously they could still rehire me. And what was really nice was that on my last day, they actually announced that my last day was during a meeting. It was a very hard thing for me to do was, take the final bow. During the meeting that everybody, because everybody at the office knows that I love the stuff, and they knew that it was a hard choice for me to make.
Mm-hmm.
Even the CEO was like, wow, I didn't even know that either. I was like, but he said, thank you, Matt. You're simply best in the world. And that's actually ironically one of my catchphrases I use, or what people say about me when they see me perform, is they say I'm like simply the best in the world at what I do.
Oh, wow.
So how did you end up doing videos now?
Originally, I had the program Windows Movie Maker on my computer, and I was just very interested in video stuff. And next thing I know, I'm starting to kind of create my own videos and stuff. And then next thing I know, it evolves into a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And the YouTube channel just kind of it took about almost 6 or 7 years for it to finally reach 1,000 subscribers. And now I'm at 55,000.
That's wild.
Now.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping that, I'm really hoping to eventually make 100,000 so I can eventually get the YouTube plaques.
Oh, yeah, the buttons.
So
yeah,
you have your own fans, basically.
Pretty much. I mean, but they know what to expect when it comes to my YouTube channel, which most of the time I do, character performances, or I film the animatronics at specific Chuck E. Cheese restaurants. I also do, live streams. I do a live stream called Matt the Franchise Live.
Mm-hmm.
And I just do live stream. I'll talk about Chuck E. Cheese stuff. I kind of make that more of an open thing to do, where I do a lot of stuff, not just tight cast that to Chuck E. Cheese stuff specifically.
Wow.
So what is
just my main art.
What is your ultimate Chuck E. Cheese related goal?
To be honest, it would be to eventually get a full show, officially get a full show in my house, and eventually, be able to come home and just, power up the air compressor, turn on the controller, and actually just play old shows in my house.
Oh, like the full set from... Wow.
Yeah, like the full set.
Yeah.
Because I actually have one of the characters. I have Jasper as an animatronic.
Right.
Wow.
So, and he's actually... I just finally got him working recently, too. So, it's kind of a neat thing to finally have, that character working and stuff. It took me it was a long time coming.
Do you want to be working for Chuck E. Cheese or doing stuff for them, like, as your career, like, going forward?
If the opportunity ever comes up, then, yeah, I would definitely be interested in doing that. But unfortunately, you know, just right now, it's unfortunately not in the cards right now.
Uh-huh.
Well, but,
I was going to say, if you keep making videos, I'm sure at some point.
Maybe it could possibly at some point. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, for now, it's like I'm very happy with what I'm doing right now, being a freelance contractor. But, you know, I get to also do my own stuff, too. So that's the fun part, too.
Cool.
You got to work your way up, you know, in the, are you friends with all the people that do the Chuck E. videos and write them and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Matt Daniel, the guy in charge, is actually a really good friend of mine. And, you know, he's pretty much like a, you know, big brother to me. You know, he's been very good to me.
Well, we will say that we knew you when yeah. you are the head of Chuck E. videos.
Yeah, ironically, his name is Matt as well, so it kind of works out that we know each other's names like very easily.
That's good.
He could not pretend to not know your name.
Right?
Well,
it's like, hey, what's your name again?
So Matt, my question now for you as we wrap up is, how can people find your YouTube channel, and how can they find you on social media?
All right, well, on YouTube, it is Matt the Franchise, and that's M-A-T-T space the... And then franchise is spelled F-R-A-N-C-H-I-Z-E. And that's on YouTube. And from there, all my other social media links are available. Facebook is also Matt the Franchise for my fan page. And then Instagram is, my Instagram is TheFranchise454.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing about that, the 454, you'll see a lot in a lot of my social media stuff. The numbers 454 are actually the corporate store number for the Corpus Christi Chuck E. Cheese, which is the one I grew up going to as a kid and also worked at as a kid, or worked at it when I was older.
That's your home turf.
Where it started, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of have a little ode to my roots in my username and contact stuff.
Back at that Chuck E. Cheese, are they see you as like the guy who went big time?
What's that?
At the Corpus Christi Chuck E. Cheese, did they see you as the guy who went big time?
Yeah. There's a couple of managers still that are still worked there that knew me. One of them actually knew me as a kid. So she literally has seen me grow up and evolve into this.
Wow.
Well,
like she knew me when I was a little kid at Chuck E. Cheese waving my flags with the flags up on the walls. Because I would bring, as a kid too, I would also bring my flags and wave them. There's a video of it online somewhere.
Aww.
But
we'll
that was, like I said,
it.
That was my favorite thing as a kid. So that's what that was.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Get back to working on those Chuck E. videos.
Oh, it was my pleasure, guys. Thank you guys for showing interest in our event. And hopefully this will help get some more people for ChuckyCon next year. ChuckyCon 2019 is happening.
Sweet.
When? What time? Where?
We haven't made the official announcement yet. We're still trying to lock in some dates, but it's probably looking at the end of July.
Nice.
Great. Awesome.
So we will have that intact and all that good stuff.
Cool.
All right, Matt. Good luck. Let us know.
Nice to meet you, Matt.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I wish I loved anything as much as Matt loves Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, you say that a lot, but this time I agree with you.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, I loved Chuck E. Cheese as a kid. I was telling you before we started that, like, I went once as a kid and got a Chuck E. toy. Really cherished it. There's something about animatronics, I think, that does it.
Yeah, like the imitation of life.
Yes, the imitation of life. So you feel like it's alive and it's talking to you, even if you kind of know it's not.
If you could build, like, a Godzilla room in your house, would you? Like, if you had the extra room? Because he was describing...
Right. Sure. I don't think so.
Why?
Because, you know, what I would do is, like, get a room with, like, if I have two or three different interests in it. Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it's, like, Godzilla and Mets and, like, I don't know, something else.
So, like, a man cave.
Yeah. Well, I was looking on eBay for different Chuck E. Cheese stuff, and they all said man cave on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, this is where you put the animatronic in the man cave. But... Yeah, I wish I loved anything that much and had that much enthusiasm and, like, made my life about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, he decided he wanted to be making Chucky stuff, and he's making Chucky stuff.
As a child, and, yeah, join their team.
Very few people have that follow through.
Yeah. If you're curious and you're listening, you can. He has his own hashtag on Instagram, and you can see people posing with him.
We have a podcast and no one poses with me.
Yeah.
We have a podcast for a major TV network and I'm just some schmuck.
No one's like, hashtag Jordan Zachran.
When I'm at Comic-Con, it's going to be like, please move it. Like, people are not going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please move it, schmuck.
Yep, that's me. Hashtag please move it, schmuck.
And you're Jordan the Brand, goddammit.
I know. I am Jordan the Brand, and that's me on Instagram. I don't think I've given away my Instagram before.
Oops.
Jordan underscore the underscore brand. Or you could follow Garbage Picks.
Garbage Picks is the better content.
Weirdly, a lot of people, I mean, by this I mean like three or four in the last few weeks have asked me about Garbage Picks.
Yeah, you like, posted one recently, and yeah. I was like, oh, he's back on the horse.
Because, so I have this Instagram account that I just post pictures of garbage with, and I stopped because, I don't know, I wasn't seeing as much great garbage. I wasn't getting the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I don't know, I just wasn't getting the response I wanted, but...
You got really good ones lately. There's, like, a Barbie van.
Yeah.
And there's a single sneaker.
Yeah, I like the when it's, like, a kid's shoe just in the middle of the street. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a really sinister undertones to it.
Are you kidding me? New York Minute dating sticker yeah. with the name Frank?
Yep.
That's incredible.
Isn't it?
Come on.
I mean...
This is, like, actually a good account. It's a good account.
Well, follow at Garbage Picks.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, how will they find you on Twitter?
I'm Emily G. Monster on Twitter. Yes.
And I am at Jordan Zacharin on Twitter. We are at Fandomfile Sci-Fi on Twitter. Also at Garbage Picks. Follow. Why wouldn't you? If you want to see pics of garbage.
It's real good.
Actually, you know what? Follow Garbage Picks and then go to iTunes. Do not give us 3 stars. Okay? I mean, I almost admire someone just thinking we're mediocre enough to give us 3 stars, but we want the 5.
Yeah. Operative word there is almost. He doesn't really admire you.
Right. In theory, I admire it.
Yeah.
But in practice.
But give us 5 stars.
Please. Next week, we're going to have a really awesome guest.
You'll have to listen to find out.
It's going to be really good. Like, he's famous. Even more famous than at the franchise. He used to work in this building, and we're at 30 Rock. That's the only thing.
Intense.
And it's not Mike Myers. All right, goodbye.